Elite Gamer Internet for an extra $15 a month. And more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And that's right, this is The Latest in Tech News, and you're in the right place. My name is Taylor Merrick, and obviously our feature story today is we'll be looking at an internet provider selling Elite Gamer Internet, looking a little bit more into that. We'll also be looking at Microsoft making a change to Windows 10 passwords. We'll also be looking at a new hero added to League of Legends, and we'll be looking at Call of Duty 2019, everything we know so far. Now, keep in mind, today's Saturday, as of when I'm recording this right now, and you're probably wondering, Taylor, what are you doing? It's Saturday. Why are you recording an episode on Saturday? Well, a couple days ago, I promised you guys that I would do an episode on Saturday just to make up for a crazy, hectic week. I know most of April of 2019, if you're listening to this in the future, April of 2019 was a very busy week in which I wasn't able to do an episode every single weekday. And I had to take a couple days off during the week, or one or two, because I've been working behind the scenes on a very big, important project that I'm excited, and I'll let you guys in on a little bit more. Let's consider this a step up to the insiders program, as it were, a more community-oriented goal for us gadgeteers, those of us who at least call ourselves that, and I call you guys gadgeteers because you enjoy tech news as much as I do. I don't know, it's just something I call you guys. A previous group, when I used to do a vlog, yeah, I bet you didn't even know that. Back a handful of years ago, I lived in Taiwan, and I did a daily vlog for about a year and continued for several years thereafter, and I called my group of subscribers on YouTube Conspirators. So that was fun for a while, but outside of that, well, you'll be peeling back the page a little bit more in the next couple of days to see what have I've been working on behind the scenes for the past month, and I gotta say, you guys are gonna love it. I've been having to make sure everything runs okay, every variable is covered, everything's taken care of in behind the scenes so that you guys can enjoy the experience and I don't have to worry about having to go in and look at this or go in and change that, because it's all going to work as flawlessly as my Minecraft server did back in the day. Yes. Also, a fun fact, I bet you didn't know I ran a Minecraft server for a good couple of years. No prior server experience. Matter of fact, I hated YAML, which was the only coding language we could use to figure out how to use plugins and management and everything else around running a Minecraft server. Ugh, I hate that language so much. But anyways, a little bit of a long-ish rant, because I wanted to explain why I'm doing a Saturday show. So consider it an extra gift, an added bonus, as you will, if you aren't aware. I don't make it a point to do these every single Saturday from here on out, or regularly over the weekends. I plan on keeping this a weekday show for the time being, and if that changes down the road, well, I'll let you guys know what the changes are going forward. So, also, there will be no Did You Know Facts for tech today. I just didn't have time. In case you don't live in Milwaukee or in the upper Midwest, near Lake Michigan, as it were, we got smacked by a freak snowstorm that was supposedly dumping how many inches of snow? 5 to 8 to 2 to 4 to maybe 1 to 3 to... It turns out so far, light sprinkling on the ground, but nobody knows how to drive in winter weather here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Curses of people not knowing how to drive. So, yeah, just stay home. So that's why we haven't had that at least yesterday and today. But we do have today in tech history. So let's hop right on over, shall we? All right, being that today is April 27th, 2019, On this day in 1981, Xerox introduces the Xerox 8010 Star Information System, the first commercial system utilizing a computer mouse with two buttons among the now commonplace technologies. The 8010 was geared towards business and was not really a commercial success, basically because the probably the business individuals at the time were like, what is this weird thing called a computer mouse, and why do I have to press two buttons when everything is, I just type keyboard and I know the keyboard command keys, mouses suck. Well, obviously that it didn't work. It remained in relative obscurity until the Apple Lisa, but more prominently, the Apple Macintosh brought the mouse into the mainstream in the coming decades. And also, on this day in 1995, the Justice Department sues to block Microsoft's purchase of Intuit. And if the name sounds familiar, they're the ones who own TurboTax and other software-related products in terms of accounting, business management, record-keeping, taxes, all that kind of stuff. So, Justice Department sues to block Microsoft's corporation's purchase of Intuit, saying the deal could lead to higher software prices and diminish innovation. Okay, well, the suit is one of many in the ongoing struggle between Microsoft and the federal government over the company's domination of the software industry, which I do have to say is entertaining. I'll probably get into this in a later date, but for those of you who have no idea, Microsoft and the federal government has been this ongoing, interestingly involved, in-depth, battle feud, between federal government and regulation and how much oversight there should be in a corporation trying to figure out just how much it can monopolize or squish other companies out of business or prevent them from becoming a major success and or absorbing them or trying to figure out how much profits they can squeeze out and how innovative they can be and they can't be. And fun of both worlds. Maybe I'll get into that one of these days, but we actually have to get on to today's tech news. So let's head on over to our feature story. All right, first up, an internet provider, one whose name is infamous in the halls of ISP, is selling an Elite Gamer service. You heard me right. Elite service, internet service provider Cox Communications is offering a new tier of internet service called Elite Gamer for an additional $15 a month. The promise, low latency, which means less lag for optimal gaming performance. Cox Communications' new offering is technically legal, but arguably flies in the face of the highly debated subject of net neutrality, which was repealed in the United States in 2018. In essence, net neutrality is the act of treating all lanes or connections of data on the internet the same without giving certain connections a fast pass. That's all I'm going to say on that because there's a lot of varying thought in terms of that. I've already come to my own opinion. It's not quite as simple as that sentence, but I'll leave it be for now. If you actually do want to know my full opinion on what I think of net neutrality, please leave a comment. Let me know. I'll be happy to discuss this at a later date, or if you have thoughts to share, be interested to hear about what you have to say as well. Apparently, their FAQ document says they want to offer the fastest pass to your gaming server by reducing lag spikes with its Elite Gamer tier internet. Anticipating the negative reactions from net neutrality supporters, they told Motherboard that its Elite Gamer offering does not prioritize any traffic over others on our network or alter speed in any way. If it doesn't alter the speed or prioritize traffic, though, how is an Elite Gamer internet connection any different from any other? Are you guys literally just bumping the download and upload speeds by $15 a month? I don't know. Currently, in America, at least, we're already paying a hand over fist for internet with very few options available, depending on location. And while we would love to have more fiber internet locations, it's limited right now to very select metropolitan cities and areas and big enough to handle all of that. So currently, Cox has the opportunity to sell the service to a limited number of people in Arizona as part of its ongoing trial. It will then evaluate how to go forward from there, according to the article over at Motherboard. So if you live in Arizona and you have Cox Internet, you might be having an option or hearing of an option soon for Elite Gamer Internet. And if you want to go look into that and let us know how it works or doesn't work, hey, let us know. We'd like to stay in touch, see how it actually works out, if it's worth paying for, if this is something that's maybe roll out across. Will other internet service providers take notice? Will they want to incorporate this into their offering as well? I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell. Moving on to some tech news that nobody really saw coming, although I have to say, I saw this coming. I have to say it was pretty entertaining. This article comes to us from Forbes.com, and by the way, if you're looking for the show notes or links to the articles discussed in today's show, head on over to technewsgadget.net/105, or if you're listening in the podcast app right now, however you get more details, tapping, swiping, swooshing, can you do that on iPhone, or I don't know, you'll have the show notes right there, and all you have to do is tap on the article title, and it'll take you right to it. So, ask a bunch of security professionals what makes a secure password, and you'll get a bunch of different answers. Some will argue that it's all about length, others that randomness and complexity are king, while everyone will agree that password reuse is never acceptable. Some will still argue that giving passwords an expiration date, after which they must be changed, is an essential part of the business security policy picture. But it would appear that with the arrival of the Windows 10 May update, Microsoft is finally no longer going to be amongst that latter group. According to Aaron Margosis, a principal consultant with Microsoft, Windows 10 will no longer recommend ancient and obsolete periodic password expiration in the security baseline settings with the May update going forward. While being most welcome, it has to be said, well, nobody in the security business really saw that coming. Not least as the arguments for password expiration have been completely and comprehensively dismantled for some years now, yet Microsoft has not shown any indication to jump from this particular sinking security ship. It's kind of this actually brings into my own personal experience. When I worked at a financial company, I had to use Windows-based computers, and I had to change my password every 3 months, and it drove me nuts. And it's actually one of the points that they bring out in this article, which is, you see, if you tell individuals, and this is something that they were able to find out in the research and asking security professionals and talking to people about, is that if you continually tell a person to change their password every 3 months or 2 months or whatever the security setting is, they're not going to change it entirely. They're going to do slight variations on that same password, to which end means that they're more likely to make mistakes on said password, to have to reset the password to be something different, to lock themselves on many occasion out of the computer, not able to use it. So what's the purpose of setting a password expiration? I mean, I understand the reason why you'd want to do it, but it almost seems benign, because if they don't get the password to use it and the password's already secure enough, the only way that the hacker's going to be able to get in is within that 60-day window. And if they don't know what the password is, well, they're going to have no idea how to get in. And if they did, the user should be, who has the password, who had it stolen, should be at least smart enough to go, oh, I think my password might be compromised, and then manually go in and change it. And then the person would be like, oh, dang it, I can't get in a computer, lock me out. Oh, yeah, see? And it, just a bunch of interesting complexities and conversations that I guarantee you took place at least 5 or 6 years ago about this old archaic form of password expiration. I don't know, if I'm completely wrong on this topic, let me know. Do they do this at schools? They have like a password expiration if you're in a computer lab? Let me know as well. I obviously haven't been in school for like the past decade, simply because I done graduated. I live in the real world, and the real world has all this fun stuff to deal with. So, yeah, I'm only reading part of the article. The rest of the article I will leave to you to read if you're interested in more information. Moving on to some gaming news, League of Legends is adding a noob-friendly hero, Yumi, the magical cat. And there's actually a video that goes along with it, too. It's a bouncing, happy little kitten on a... What are you meowing about? I'm currently watching my parents and family's cat while they're off on a vacation, and can't wait to get into a room. Then the fun that goes on in this house. I don't have a proper recording studio. I record in the room of the house, so obviously I don't have any control over anything else outside of noises made beyond me. So yeah, League of Legends is adding a new character to the game in the form of Yumi, the magical cat. Yumi is a magical cat hailing from Vandal City. Once a girdle entrances familiar. After the enchantress Nora disappeared, Yumi took over as keeper of Nora's Book of Thresholds in a bid to seek her out. Since she is now alone, Yumi is always looking to find friendly companions to partner with and offers an abundance of shields and buffs. She loves taking naps and snacking on fish, but in the end, she never stops looking for her partner. This fluffy little cat is mainly meant to be used as a traditional enchanter support character that can buff allies, assist lane partners when it comes to staying healed, and offering help any way she can. Her attaching ability is meant as a way to make her a hero that more accessible to new characters. So it's interesting enough that this cat... You stop, cat. Shoot. I have a real-life cat making noise because somebody's hiding in a door and doesn't want to... Yeah, no, that's the baby's room. This kitten is certainly playful. Well, the fun you get recording this live. So, apparently there's a couple abilities, and including Bop and Block, which finds her next attack against a champion restoring mana and granting her a shield that will block a set amount of damage. It will follow Yumi until it's broken down and will also extend to any attached ally. And let's see. Yumi is slated to join League of Legends on May 14th, 2019. And I find this kind of funny. It's like, as soon as this champion came out, it's an obvious support champion. And the first thing that I found on the forums and communication boards was, can I play Yumi as a jungler? Like, no! It's a support. Can I play Yumi top lane? No. It's a support champ. It needs other champions. Well, I'll figure out a way. I'll maybe add Smite and change this up on... Okay, so this is what League of Legends players have been doing since time immemorial, which basically means every single character that comes out can be played to varying degrees in varying roles. As a matter of fact, there was one champion that came out as a support champion. You guys probably know what I'm talking about if you're familiar with League of Legends. It came out and they're all like, yeah, this is going to be great support champion. We're going to go into support and it's going to be great and it's not really that hard to play. Well, guess where it went? Jungle and top lane. And then it found it did better in jungle. And then they said, shoot, did we just make a jungle character on accident? Because it's actually doing better jungling than it is supporting in the bot. Guys, stop playing a champion in the roles it's not supposed to be in. Soon they're just going to be locking you into the lane, saying you're playing a support champion. You're going to be stuck bot lane until 15 minutes are expired, and then you can roam around in other lanes. I don't know, it's going to be entertaining for sure. So if you guys are interested in a new champion, be sure to take a look at Yumi, and stay tuned. She'll be coming out mid-May. And finally, the last news we have for today is a gaming article coming to us from Dexerto. Call of Duty 2019. Everything we know so far, Modern Warfare 4 leaks and rumors. So, Call of Duty fans, if you're one of them, are eagerly anticipating the official announcement about next year's title, which is reportedly set to be Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4. The Modern Warfare part of the Call of Duty franchise is extremely popular, dating back to the release of the first one in 2007. However, there hasn't been a release in the series since 2011. So here's everything we know about the next installment of Call of Duty, including whether or not the Modern Warfare franchise will be making a return. So it appears as if that is the case. Modern Warfare 4 should be coming back. They say it's rooted in the franchise's important history, prompting speculation. While plenty of reports have already suggested that the next Modern Warfare game would be coming this year, a few folks have seemingly let the cat out of the bag. Get it? Now you know I use them. If you didn't get that joke, go back like 2 minutes. First up, Robert Bowling, formerly of Infinity Ward, told one fan to invest in brown pants after they said they would, well, soil themselves if the next game was to be Modern Warfare 4. Then, less than a day later, Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota told streamer Nick Merckx that when he played the new one at the private test event, it was like the old Modern Warfare, referring to Call of Duty 4. So, when will Call of Duty 2019 be released? Well, we don't have an official announcement about when that will be, but it would be pretty hard to have a release date. However, with it being Call of Duty, we can expect the game to be released before the holiday period. Traditionally, we have been able to expect a new title to be released around the start of November. However, Treyarch broke that mold with Black Ops 4 by releasing it on October 12th, the only main entry in the series not released in November. So, another important question, will it have a single-player mode? Yes, and that is not a rumor, but confirmed by Activision themselves. While Call of Duty Black Ops 4 became the first installment to not feature a campaign story, Modern Warfare 4 is set to have all the elements back that you would expect, including single-player campaign, large multiplayer mode, and co-op experience. What about Battle Royale, since that's apparently the next question on everybody's mind? It has been previously leaked that the next Call of Duty title would not feature a Battle Royale extension, similar to how they added Blackout to Black Ops 4. Now, while that information should have been taken with a mountain of salt, it was all unconfirmed, and from a pretty much unrecognizable source, it appears as if that will be the case, and there won't be a Modern Warfare-themed Battle Royale dropping with your purchase of the game. And then finally, will Modern Warfare 2 and 3 be remastered? Well, same leaker also noted that the game would come with the campaigns of Modern Warfare 2 and 3, both remastered. However, there would be no multiplayer element. Fans have been waiting for those remasteries since, well, it was first hinted back in 2018. Will it finally be released, at least in some capacity, alongside Modern Warfare 4? Well, remains to be seen, and that's all we know for now. Are you guys looking forward to it? You excited about it? What would you like to see in the next Modern Warfare? Let us know down in the comment section down below. And with that, that wraps up this episode of The Latest in Tech News. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday, and while seeing as how this is a Saturday special, you guys got lucky. The Latest in Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and Facebook Watch. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know by clicking that like button down below and by leaving a comment. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss out on the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the latest in tech, gadgets, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.